You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content.
When I die and I lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky. Going up to the spirit in the sky. It's where I'm gonna go.
Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Markev program, Joe Markev.
I guess we're supposed to start now. Is that what you're saying? It says on the sign up there, on air.
It does, and we are on the air.
You know, poor Pastor Dave. He gets all worried as we sneak up into this thing. He's yelling, okay, Joe, come on. Quick, pay attention. Five, four, hurry up, Joe, hurry up.
He thinks that we're supposed to be prepared or something.
That was the assumption I was working on.
I don't know when you first started, but I know Vince, poor Vince, when he started in the group, he said, well, what are you going to talk about, Joe? I said, I don't know. He said, well, we can't do that. We got to be prepared. And I said, okay.
I remember the first time I came up with my script. I came with all my questions, my answers. And then I realized how you conducted the show. And I said, well, that's all out the window.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, folks, just so you know, back in '04, which is 2004, Joe Martech, financial advisor, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, and Greg Fasula, attorney, said, let's start doing a radio show. And the conversation between the three of us, what are we going to talk about? And we all agreed, we don't know. But what we will do is we will answer questions for people that call in. And each one of us has a different area of expertise. Greg is wills and trusts. Dan is every type of insurance that there is. Dan is, in my not too humble opinion, a premier insurance agent on the Treasure Coast, about 100 companies in his umbrella and over 38 years worth of experience, and a magnificent person besides. So we started doing the shows, and we didn't have a clue if we'd be doing them for a week or a month, or we had no idea. And here it is 14 years later, and we're still doing them.
Thank goodness it doesn't go by ratings.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? And that's what people say. And say, how are you guys rated? And I say, well, the shows that we do are not rated.
Lovely.
This is like going to the movies, but it has an NR in there. It's not a good thing necessarily. But you don't usually rate things on Christian radio, on nonprofits. And then we do WPSL, which is talk radio. And I don't know that they rate anything that's rated on that station either.
Well, I tell you, I know we have some listeners because we have some great calls.
Yeah.
And we were able to help a lot of people, and you know, I'm really thankful for that. I get a big kick out of it, and I just appreciate that opportunity.
Well, I will tell you, I was talking to Dave and Jonathan, Pastor Dave and Pastor Jonathan, before the show, and Jonathan says to me, Joe, what do you get out of this? And I said, well, there's three things. One, obviously, I get paid to help people financially. That's the easy part. But two, what we have been able to do to give back to people, to help people that needed help, that a lot of people wouldn't do, has been very gratifying. And I know what Mike is, you people have patted you on the back on top of the head so much you should be bald by now, because that bald spot.
That's for me pulling out my hair, Joe.
When you help somebody and you do the right thing for somebody, because we've all seen people, and let me just toot your horn a little bit. And this is another, when people say it's a true story, that means all the rest of my stories are lies. I dislike when people preface it. But this actually happened to me. I had a client that lived down in Coral Springs, and she had moved from up here and was living down there. And she called me up, and she goes, "Well, Joe, nothing. I just thought I'd check in with you." And okay, good. Everything is good. And she says, "Yeah, I'm refinancing my house. I'm getting a loan." And I says, "Well, good for you." I said, "Do you have the good faith estimate?" And she says, "Yeah." I said, "Well, can you fax it to me? I'd just like to see what it was." And she said, "Okay." Came up. They were charging her 9 points.
Mm. Wow.
9 points. They want to retire on that one loan.
Is that allowable? Can you do that?
Let me just put it. This was a few years ago.
Yeah, back in 2004 and 5, it was like the wild, wild west of lending.
And this is about when it was. So I just said to her, and I said, "When did you close?" She goes, "Yesterday." And I said, "Okay." I got on the phone with the lender, and I said, "You are going to cancel this deal and give her money back, because it's done, because she does it, and we're writing a certified letter and going to be in your hands tomorrow." And then the guy comes up and he says, "I see why." He said, "What do I need to do to save the deal?" And I said, "You need to give her a check back for 7%. Keep 2, which is 1 too many."
Yeah.
Mm. You know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
But I said, "Keep 2. That's 1 too many, but keep 2. And he said, "Okay, I'll put it in the mail." I said, "No. You go get a cashier's check now, and it's got to be in her hands by this minute, because otherwise it's past the rescission period, where you could cash and get it back."
Yeah, then it's too late.
Yeah. And he did. Now, let me just tell you, and it's just what happens in life. You watch people be taken advantage of, and it just makes you sick to your stomach. How many old ladies, Vic, I know, Lord, you have taken care of so many elderly people. Now, we are one of them, which really upsets me, but but people that need,
not as old as Jean yet.
I know, this is not good. Yeah. Anyway, but there was people that literally you've gone way out of your way as a person to help, that had nothing to do with you in real estate, but because you bumped into them during the course of working and they needed help.
That's so true.
So true. And I over the period of time. And Mike, I know you're doing the same thing. And that's where I was talking to Jonathan, and I said, probably that's been the best thing that's come out of this thing. Besides the fact people were making a living doing what we do, we've been able to help people.
Yeah.
So not only this, but Vince Rosino, CPA, same thing. I can't tell you how many people he's not charged a nickel just to help them and counsel them to get them from point A to point B, which Dan Warren's done the same thing. Greg Fasula, man, oh man, Greg, how many times people have come to see him and he'll spend 2-3 hours and not charge him a nickel just to help him. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us as a group integrity that we have. And this is something, Dave, when I started doing these radio shows, I was looking for people that weren't new in business, because new people in business sometimes make more mistakes than people that have been around a long time.
Yeah, once in a while, occasionally.
I'm trying to phrase that gently. Did you notice, Mike?
Yes.
But normally when somebody's been in business 10, 15 years in one location, they've earned the respect and the admiration, and we can call these people long-termers. Yeah. They're not short. How many people do we see come and go in life?
Yeah, it's tremendous.
Too many.
And I have to tell you, I Dan Warren's horn a lot, and he's saved quite a few deals by supplying, very affordable insurance for my customers. But, recently, I got to tell you, I got to toot Vince's horn, because, you know, he saved me personally a lot of money, gave me some great accounting ideas and whatnot. But, you know, at this point, I think that half of the people in my office are using him as for his accounting services.
Well,
he's just a smart guy. He knows accounting inside and out.
You see,
he's forensic.
You remember Vic used to tell me I was dumb? Look, I put this whole group together.
Yeah.
You still think I'm dumb?
I think you're pretty smart.
But, well, that was really called very conscious soliciting for a compliment. You know, thank you so much. I'm patting myself on the back because you can't reach, but that's good. 1-888-221-8990, folks. Pay attention now. This is a class. You're supposed to write that number down. 888. This is toll free. 888-221-8990. Now, the reason I know that number, because it's on the wall. And Dave is watching me read it, making sure I'm telling the right number.
Story, yeah.
888-221-8990. So if we got any questions about mortgages, Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, sitting here. Any questions about real estate, we got Ms. Victoria Lloyd, REMAX of Stewart, the hardest working person alive, I think. Mike, you know, it makes us look like puppies. I'm telling you what, the way this girl, all she does is work.
I go through a tough week, and I just look at Victoria, and I just wonder how she keeps up that pace all the time.
I know. Yeah. I wonder, too.
You know,
I think I'm going to have a brain freeze one of these days.
I was picking on her this morning because, you know, her husband, Lenny, had a stroke not too long ago. And, you know, Victoria, I said, is your phone ever turned off? She goes, well, not really. I said, what if you go into a funeral? She goes, no, it's on. It vibrates. And I said, now, what about when you're in a helicopter with Lenny when they're driving him into the hospital? She goes, well.
On in my car.
all it amounts to is that if there's a person that can work harder, I've never met him. I mean, and I've only known her since 1980. And you know, the only problem is, you know, you might remember this, Mike. She's not very often very quiet.
No, I'm not. I'm always texting Mike. I'm reminding Mike about what he's supposed to do. It's like a text on top of a text. You know, I said I'm his little pain in the neck. You know, I'm always texting him, and it's so funny.
You know, my last cell phone that I went through, it was really slowing down. So I brought it over to the cell phone company. I said, how do I speed this up, or do I need another one? And he said, well, let's look at your text.
Oh, no wonder you've used up all your time.
And I save everything because for me, I like to have it in writing because it refreshes my memory when I talk to customers. But by far, probably triple the amount of texts I get from my wife. They're from Victoria.
Yeah, it's like, hey, Mike. Hey, Mike.
we kind of joke and pick, was it? And when Victoria wakes up, she automatically starts working. It doesn't make any difference if it's 1 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock
That's
in the
truth.
Morning.
That is the truth.
So didn't she text you one time at like 2 or 3 in the morning, and your wife said, "Who's that?" You said, "What's his name from State Farm? What are you wearing, Jake?"
Yeah, what are you wearing, Jake? I probably sent him an email too, and his phone probably dang or something. Because people go, "What are you doing emailing me at 1 o'clock in the morning?" Well, that's when I got it done. Because if I promise you I'm gonna do something, it might not be exactly at 5 o'clock or six. It might be I fell asleep for an hour or two and I'm back up.
That's my point. If she says she's going to do it,
I'm going to do it.
But you might have to tell her, don't do it at 3 in the morning, just in case you wake up and you're working.
I think that's the beauty of text messaging and emails, because you can send those anytime you want. And you don't maybe you don't expect an answer right back at that second.
Right.
But Victoria does.
She expects it back. If you don't answer her right back, she calls you and wakes you up.
I get people that say, God, you know, I was up at 2. I said, why didn't you call me? I was up too. We could have talked to each other.
1-888-221-8990. So we have Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. What's you know, I'm watching 10-year T-bill.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 285, right?
Yeah, it keeps, you know, now it's on its way back down again. It's been like a yo-yo. It's whatever political news of the day is taking shape. It affects the 10-year T-bill. And most of our listeners probably don't realize this, but most of the mortgage interest rates are really based on what that 10-year T-bill yield does.
Right.
So when it says it's at 2.8, it doesn't really mean that the mortgage rates are 2.8, but, you know, that's the index that we really kind of judge our interest rates on. When that goes up, our interest rates go up. When it goes down, it usually affects the rates down.
If somebody's in the 790, 800 credit score rate, what's the best 30-year mortgage rate today?
Well, I really can't say that without saying all the APRs and all the disclosures. But
I know.
Now would be a very good time to look at interest rates because we do have a little dip in the market. You know, for a very well-qualified borrower, you know, you would probably be looking in the upper fours. The mid to upper fours.
4.45, 4.6, 4.7.
You've said it there.
You're not supposed to say. Yeah, what happens, we all have these compliance things and rules, and if you say this, you've got to say that.
Exactly.
I mean, and it's a never-ending thing. Every one of our shows is recorded. I've got to send it to my compliance people in
California.
Yeah,
and I need a copy of that as well.
Well, you know, same thing. We just, it's just the rules.
Yeah.
I've always, you know what the golden rule is, don't you, Dave?
He who has the gold makes the rules.
Yep, he who has the gold makes the rules. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, and that's just what we've all, in our, I've got a client right now. We've been trying to get a transfer done on a very substantial amount of money since March. Now, the securities rules are they have 5 days to clear it and do it. Can you imagine that? And it's been since March.
What's the holdup?
People. Can you ever imagine that?
Yeah, when people get in the way.
There you go. What if it's called, and Victoria is one of those that constantly, when it came to the short sales, you start dealing with one person, they leave, and now you got a new person, and they leave, and you got a new person, they get promoted, transferred, you get another new person, and it's like everything starts all over again. And then when you get an organization that has internal bad management, you call up one person and they give you a story. And the next day you call another person and they give you a different story. And then you call another person the next day and they give you a different story. Mm-hmm. And they tell you that the one that you got the story from before was out of their mind because it's stupid. You know, and you know, it's an amazing thing, and little rule of business, Dave. Mm-hmm. And you might have the same one, Mike. I never take no for an answer until I've had it three times. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I say, call back tomorrow, get a different person, and go back, start over again. And you think that everything should be in this manual that has all of the answers that they have, but you know, a lot of people can't read.
Yeah. And you know, you hit the nail on the head when you said that, you know, especially with these short sales, you call, you get someone, you call the next day, you get a different person.
Right.
And some of the new compliance laws in the mortgage industry is that kind of changed after all of the debacle that happened with the real estate market and all these foreclosures and short sales. Mortgage companies are now required to assign one person to a loan situation if you're going to through a short sale or foreclosure, and that's who you deal with all the way through the process.
Well, so they've changed the rule.
Yes,
about time, because they had these problems. So they
absolutely had these problems. But so things have changed, and they are improving. And you know, some of the regulations are in place for good reasons.
Yeah. Well, some things, you know, as a group, we're not really happy about government interference and regulation, but some things need government interference and regulation because there's nobody else that can do it. So the banking system or the mortgage business or the securities business, insurances, all of these have these regulators. Now, sometimes regulators get carried away because in order to justify their existence, they have to do something in order to get paid. So who knows what all the rules are? 1-888. Do you know how to turn this thing off?
You're blinding me. Jail is shining his cell phone with the
all of a sudden my light just came on all by itself. I had no idea how to turn it off. I guess I'm going to have to take it apart if I can figure out how to do that. I have to put my glasses on. Here, I'll give it to Pastor Dave. He knows everything.
Well, he's running that big complicated switchboard, so he must know how to turn off the light on a phone.
He may know how to do it. 1-888-221-8990. So if you've got questions on like something that happens regularly, people retire or they quit a company and they've got a 401k or a retirement program, well, that can be rolled over away from that company, no tax. It now becomes what's called an individual retirement account rather than a company account, which could be a 401k, 403b, 457, lots of letters and numbers. But when you roll it over,
when the saints go marching in.
This is not a pretty picture, folks, but we just had our special guest member, who was arriving late, retired prosecuting attorney from Wisconsin, Alan Lowe.
Well, he doesn't have a watch anymore because he's retired.
It's it. But you
know, I don't have a watch and I'm not retired.
You don't know what he used to teach at the synagogue. A couple weeks ago we had to inform people about that. But he's our, as I call him, he's our messy Jew, which is not exactly the right phraseology, but it's Messianic Jew, which means he's born a Hebrew, but on the other hand, he has converted to Christianity, so he's now called a Messianic Jew. Is that fair?
Messianic is correct.
See? And yeah. Hey, you look pretty healthy today, Speedy. What's going?
Well, I was just at a St. Lucie County Transportation Planning Organization meeting. I'm on that board, and they were talking about a lot of stuff, including automated vehicles. And believe it or not, they are planning for automated vehicles to be mandatory by 2050.
60?
50.
Well, we'll be dead by then. It's not a problem.
I don't think we have to worry about that.
Yeah.
No, but it's interesting that they're going that direction, because they say that 90% of accidents are caused by human beings.
Well, that's a fact. I thought it was 100%.
Well, human error.
I thought that you created most of those accidents, John.
No, this is, we don't want to get into that. As Dan's people said, Joe, please don't have any more tickets and accidents, you know. But that's,
well, hey, you should say that, because you're,
that's what they're telling
your
me.
Your money's going up and out the door.
Well, they're telling me. Yeah. Well, hey, listen.
Well, you're paying for it, so why do they care?
Well, because I'm bugging them.
Oh, okay.
Because I want a better rate.
Well, yeah, sure. Let me be a bad driver and have accidents.
Hey, what's that got to do with
anything?
Can you
give me a better rate? And even though my credit score is terrible, I never pay my bills, let's
right,
say.
But I do.
Can't you give me money?
I do want 3% interest rate on my mortgage.
I need it for all the bills I haven't paid yet.
I don't want to pay that much, Mike. 3% is way too high.
I love that.
1-888-221-8990. We kind of started off, Alan, with a little bit of a... Pastor Jonathan said, Joe, what do you get out of this program when we came in earlier today? And I said, you know, nobody's ever asked me that directly, and it was kind of nice, but... You know, because you've been sitting around for a year and a half as part of our guest members, how many people we've actually helped. Nothing to do with making money or commissions or fees or whatever, but people that have problems that we have been able as a group, because we have so much experience. You know, like I said, our group, not including Alan, has about 200 years worth of experience. And if we add Alan, we've got 300 years of experience. Let me take this phone call in the meantime before you get involved. Caller's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, I'm calling with some possible ways to withdraw retirement savings with the least amount, possibly none, taxable.
Well, it's always fun. First of all, how old are you?
74.
Okay. Good news is
so
you
young.
Have no penalty. Next, I'm assuming, you know, you don't sound 74.
No,
you sound 34.
All. Well, thank you.
Okay, maybe 24. Well, I'm going for compliments. You might as well go all the way, right?
Fair enough.
Anyway, if you're 74 years old, just give me some hints now. Are you married?
No, single, divorced.
Okay, and do you have Social Security and pension?
Just Social Security. I'm currently working.
Okay, so you're currently working. Give me a ballpark. How much do you earn per year working?
$36,000.
Okay, so you're going to pay tax, period. Any money you take out of a retirement account is going to be taxed at your ordinary income rate. If you make over a certain amount of money in the year, your Social Security also gets taxed. So you've got a double-edged sword, because you're probably making too much money. Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Well, I won't be doing this while I'm working, so this is going to be hopefully near future.
Okay. If you wait until next calendar, let's assume that this year is your last working year, now all of a sudden all you're getting is Social Security, you can probably take out $10,000 to $15,000 a year and have no tax whatsoever. Now, Vince Rosino, CPA, is not here today, but he could give you the exact figure, but I'm... If you can remember to give us a call next week when Vince is here, ask that same question again. But understand, if you only have Social Security, you're going to have no tax on your Social Security, and probably you can make another $15,000 or $20,000 a year on top of that in passive income, not earned income. Passive income means you're not paying into the Social Security system or Medicare because you're not working, but it's only investment income or non-taxable income.
All right. Well, my buckets are a Roth. Don't have to worry about that.
That one you don't have to worry about.
Right. I have a traditional IRA small and a profit sharing, which is totally going to be taxable, and I will roll that over to my traditional IRA directly when I retire.
Okay.
And then take minimum or whatever I need without paying taxes. It's getting it out of the right buckets that I want to be certain of.
Sure.
I also have an annuity, and some of that, you know, what's earned will be taxed.
Of course.
Well, so what I want to know is, will it be possible then for a person to, as long as they take it out of the right buckets and only go up to the taxable limit, you know, of what they'd have to pay on, they would never have to pay tax on their traditional IRA, profit sharing earnings, or annuity earnings as long as you stay under a certain figure?
Well, the answer is yes and no. Here's one of the problems if you don't die. you like this. This is a wonderful problem. The government says when you turn 70 and one half, you have to take out required minimum distributions.
Oh, yes, that would be first.
Now.
I'm doing that already.
Okay. Let's just say the first year is roughly 4%. That's at 70 and one half. When you turn 90, if you're not dead, you have to take out 10%. So let's say you had $200,000 in these retirement accounts. You would have to take out $20,000, 10% of them, when you turn 90. So the number graduates every year. On the other hand, normally the tax brackets graduate every year, and now that we've had tax reform, Mike, if I'm not mistaken, is at least $20,000 that she would have no tax on now, not including Social Security.
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
Matter of fact, if for qualifying reasons, we can gross that up by 10 or 15% and use that
to get a mortgage.
Literally,
next year, if let's say you get $2,000 a month Social Security, and I hope you do, that next year you could probably take another almost $2,000 a month out of your retirement accounts and have no tax.
Wonderful.
But what we'll do is, when Vince is here, if you listen regularly, we'd appreciate it if you would, call back next week and then ask that question again. But I'm pretty sure Mike and I go through this regularly. Mike is the mortgage fella. I'm pretty sure it's around $20,000 that you can take out and have no tax, not including Social Security.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening.
God bless. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Here's a question, Joe. She has to take a mandatory distribution.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But she's still working.
Right.
Can she fund her IRA? Can she put $6,500
in? Of course
in?
She can. Well, it depends. If she has this company retirement plan, which she said she did, if they're taking out the amount that is allowed, you can't also have an IRA distribution.
Ah.
So you have a limit.
It's one or the other.
But what,
well, you can
have total.
Both.
You can't go exceed the total.
You can't exceed the total. Now, it's more than $6,500, but on the other hand, let's say you're allowed to put $15,000 in the 401k, let's just say, and they do, then you can't fund your IRA at all.
But you, let's just say you have an IRA and no 401k.
There you go.
Then you can put $6,500 in the IRA, but you have to withdraw your minimum distribution also?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Well, okay. here comes another $64,000 question. Once you turn 70 and a half, I don't think you can contribute to an IRA anymore once you start taking distributions.
That really was my question.
But
so
I think 401ks you can. It depends on which employer. Here's what happens with the rules. You and I both know. They change the rules every year.
Right.
So what happens whenever I get a person that I'm not 100% sure, we call Vince.
He'll be here next week. We'll talk about it.
And poor Vince, he say, you know, Martek, you really upset me. There's 30,000 or 60,000 pages in this code, and every time you want to know something, it's a page I haven't read yet.
You want to go back to Pastor Jonathan's question about what do you get out of this show?
And the answer was?
Well, in my case, Greg Fasula and I helped a family from North Dakota who was being scammed by a financial advisor who was in Canada. He took half of Grandpa's money and quick claimed the house over to him, acting as the personal representative. And Greg and I were able to at least put the brakes on that for
Thank
a
goodness.
While. It's probably going to go to court and be contested.
But at least we stopped the bleeding at this point.
And, you know, and that's what's happened. And I was saying that earlier, that we've been very fortunate because we have so much life experiences, business experiences, that when people call in that have a problem that they can't figure out how to handle, normally we can. We had a fellow that called in this morning. You remember about CDs? And, And he has about 15,000 in CDs, and he can't get the money.
Because of the penalty for withdrawal?
No.
They can't find them.
He can't find. Here's what happened is he probably can't find the physical CD, but they were with a bank, which was now bought by a bank, which was bought by a bank, which was bought by a bank.
Right.
And the paper, sometimes in the scope of all of this stuff, might be messed up a bit.
Wasn't he receiving statements for it?
Well, I didn't get into all the questions. I said I would call him tomorrow and see if I can find out more details. Hmm. First thing we said, FDIC, but on the other hand, it could be an SNL that was not. There are some state-chartered banks that were not part of FDIC or the Savings and Loan Association. Mm-hmm. Not too many, but there were such things. It depends on how long ago he took them out.
They were a long time ago.
Yeah. And then the other thing was he did mention that Chemical Bank was one of the people that took over the banks and the in a scope of things. Well, all of a sudden, that brings in FDIC for sure. So literally what happened is, and he mentioned the fact that he had talked to an attorney. Well, there's a difference between talking to an attorney and hiring an attorney. Mm-hmm. And he may not have hired an attorney, but literally... It's you know, when people say 15,000 is not a lot of money, as I said to him this morning, I says, yeah, I'm sure you earned that in 1 week, so it's no big deal. Well, let's face it, he didn't. It is a big deal. 15,000 is a big deal. It takes a while to save $15,000. So it's just an unusual circumstance that between our group and some of the experiences we have, it might be a little easier for us to do some research to help him. And that's what we do. So what Jonathan was saying, part of the fact that we've been able to help people has been very gratifying. And not necessarily anybody's earning any money from things, but to stop an abuse.
That's very important. And you know, that to me is the best of all, the great feeling that you get from knowing that you've helped somebody who really needed it.
Yep. 1-888-221-8990. So we got the hardest working realtor alive sitting here. She hasn't fallen asleep yet, but this is the longest I've ever seen her quiet in her whole life.
She is kind of quiet.
You're very quiet today.
Well, I'm listening to you. I'm, you know, you're it all in.
Did she ever tell you, years ago, we were driving across the state or up to Maryland or wherever we were going.
From Maryland.
And she was talking and talking and talking. And I said, Vic, you don't need to talk all the time. Well, within 8 seconds, she was sound asleep.
I remember like it was
yesterday.
It was
a great trip when she slept for an hour. It was wonderful.
Yeah, we were doing real estate business in Maryland, remember? And that's where I'm from.
Yeah.
So it worked out perfect.
Yeah.
We were at my brother's house.
Yep. We had the free rent, you know, the whole thing. We didn't have to pay for a hotel. It was all a good deal. Anyway, 888-221-8990. Any questions you might have? We have a retired prosecuting attorney here. We have Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, Joe Martek, financial advisor.
Well, as a retired prosecuting attorney, I can make a couple of comments about the Manafort case. I thought that
he's going to jail.
Yeah, I thought that both sides though did very well in presenting the case. I thought the jury did a marvelous job, but the real kudos to me was how the judge handled the case. The fact that he didn't allow his ego to get involved and accepted 8 verdicts and basically said, okay, you can't reach agreement on the other team, fine.
Let's take another call and then we'll get back into it. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yeah, hey, thanks for taking my call. My name's Mike. I'm 62 years old. And I have several thousand dollars, $100,000 or so, that I want to put into some of the money market funds that are paying upwards of 1.8%.
Sure, sure.
I see, you know, these online banks, I guess is where I'm seeing them. And with all the scams and everything you hear about and read about and see, I'm getting ready to contact a couple of these online I mean, they're names that I've heard of, but you really can't be for sure, I guess, these days. I don't want to transfer $200,000 over to some account number that somebody gave me over the phone. So how do I know I'm really dealing with somebody legitimate?
Well, you know, there's people that can be checked. If you get to a state, you know, the state of Florida, by the way, it has a professional, Mike, give me what do they call it that monitors all of us guys that have licenses?
Office of Financial Regulation.
There you go. And you can go online and check out every company, every individual that's licensed, just that simple. And that's one of the first steps. An easy one also, and in spite of the fact it may not be 100% as strong, is the Better Business Bureau. If a Better Business Bureau, a lot of people don't belong to it because it costs $500 or $700 a year and it's an aggravation, but they take complaints, and if people don't, you know, if they have multiple complaints, that's kind of another clue. One of the things
that's what I was thinking of doing,
You also
call them, and I got to thinking it might be somebody more
Department
like
of Professional
Office of Financial. Okay.
If you go on just Florida.gov, I guess is it Florida.gov?
Yeah. Well, I'm not so sure.
FLA.gov, it might be.
But online. The organization that regulates us is the Office of Financial Regulation.
What happens is if you go online and just put in, how do I check out a professional, and just put it in a search engine, and then take it, they'll literally, you'll start getting all kinds of information that might be there. And what I'll do, Mike, where do you live?
I live in West Palm Beach, Florida.
Okay, so you're not too far away from where we are. You left your name and number with Pastor Jonathan when you called in, am I right?
I haven't yet, no.
Okay, what I'm going to do is, I can't put you, I can put you on hold, and I want to take your name and number, and I'll call you back tomorrow and talk to you off the radio. Can you, let me see how we can figure out, hey, Dave, how do we put this fella on hold so I can... Jonathan didn't take his name and number when he called in.
I have one other real quick question, which is probably much...
Okay, great. He has a realtor question.
Go ahead. Ask your realtor question, and then when you're done, instead of us putting on hold, because this is not a sophisticated phone system. This is a regular old... The only thing it doesn't have is a dial on it where you have to pull it with your finger all the way around. But anyway, when you get done... You just call back and talk to Jonathan or Dave and have them take your name and number, and I'll give you a call back tomorrow. But in the meantime, you got a question for Victoria. Go ahead.
Go right ahead.
Well, I'm sorry. She might have misunderstood me. It wasn't a real realtor question.
Oh.
It was just a real easy question.
Oh, real easy. I thought you said realtor. Go ahead.
Why can't we get the real easy
questions? Wait a minute. I got a buddy of mine that's got a boat called Real Easy.
Reeling in easy.
okay.
Anyway, go ahead.
I have all my investments through a judiciary financial advisor, and then, of course, he recommends and has me invest through a management company. So with his fee of about 0.6% and the management fee of 1%, I'm at 1.6%, so I'm... They don't invest in mutual funds. I know they're layered with fees. It's mostly all straight individual stocks and some bonds. I'm looking to shop around for a little better pricing on my fee structure, because that's a little bit, I'm getting up there a little high, are I not? Or,
well, here comes the $64,000 question is, are they doing a job for you?
Well, I'm going up because the economy is booming, and the stock market since Trump took over has been doing good. So, I'm doing good, but everybody's kind of doing good.
See, one of the things that happens to it now, how old you say you were again?
62.
Yeah, 62. And you just said you were in bonds?
I'm about 35% bonds, the rest is stocks.
Okay, now, let me ask you. Have you listened to us before on a radio show talk about bonds?
No, this is the first time.
Okay, good. Are you sitting down right now? Are you driving in a car? Or?
I'm sitting down.
Okay, good. Stay on the radio for a while, because I want to talk about bonds, because this is an educational show, and what we want to do is teach people. But in the meantime, when we get done here, call back and leave your name and number, and I'm going to talk to you tomorrow off the radio. But let's talk about bonds for a second. There used to be an old philosophy that was the older you get, the more of your money should be in bonds. Why? Because bonds were, quote, safer than stock. So if you don't have 20, 30, 40 years left to accumulate money, they think you should be more and more conservative in getting into bonds. However, have you heard interest rates go up, bonds go down?
Right.
Have you heard that?
Well, I know it's when interest rates go up over the years, your purchasing power with stays the same with bonds. Whenever they're kicking off, it doesn't.
Well, let me just give you an example. Let's say that you and I go out and buy one bond, and that bond costs $1,000, and that bond is paying 5%. Let's just say that 5%. Okay? We put $500 a piece in. And a year goes by, and you say, Joe, I don't like you anymore. I want to get a new partner. So go get me a partner and take over that $500, and he can collect the 5% on his $500. So I go to see Mike, my buddy over here, mortgage guy, Mike
Powell. That sounds like a good deal.
And I say, Mike, here it is. It's a bond paying 5%. Buy me out because Mike over here doesn't like me anymore. And Mike says, well, Joe, just a minute. Let me just check and see what new bonds are paying. And new bonds are paying 6%. So he says, Joe, that 5% bond looks fine, but why would I buy a 5% bond if a new one is paying 6 because interest rates have gone up? So he then says, here's what I'll do. There's 9 more years to go, and I want a 6% yield, so you have to discount 1% a year so I can get a 6% yield. So literally what I'm trying to say is if you have bonds in your portfolio right now, you're going to be losing money, and you already have lost money because interest rates are not going down. They're definitely going up, and in fact, according to the Fed, they're going to raise a quarter of a point next month for sure, is what they say, and maybe again in December, which means you're going to have 2 hits. Now, most people, if they have these bonds, if you hold them all the way to the end, and let's say they're paying 3 or 4, pick a number, makes no difference, you'll get your money back. And in the meantime, you collect that 3 or 4%. But if you wanted to sell them during the course of these next 9 or 10 or 15 or 20 years, you might have to take a discount. So it can adversely affect your portfolio. So today, I advise almost everybody not to be in bonds because interest rates, no doubt about it, are not going to be going down. Now, let's just take the second side of the coin. Let's say 5 years from now, interest rates are 7%, and we get bonds that are paying 7%. In the meantime, the ones we have today at 3 are no good. Nobody wants them. But we buy them at 7, and then interest rates start going down. Well, everybody wants our 7s. We can then make a profit on those. But we are probably, conservatively, a few years away from interest rates peaking and then bonds becoming a good investment. So I'm a bit concerned about that 35% of your portfolio.
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning of the year, I told them to do no more bond purchases.
Absolutely.
To stop it at where it's at. Because I have some expiring, you know, in the next 3 or 2 years, or maybe even one at the end of this year, and a couple more.
Hey,
those are
fine, you know, because you're a young guy. But if you've got some that are 5 and 6 and 7 years out, and you want to ever, you're going to just look at your portfolio balance going down. And let's say that the market only starts doing 8 and 10% a year instead of like last year, we had clients making 25 and 30. They're all happy as a clam. However, if all of a sudden the stock market plateaus and you're averaging 5 or 6 or 7 and your bonds are eroding, you may end up with the end of the year not making a nickel or even taking a loss as far as paper goes.
So why wouldn't he sell those bonds now, even if they're maturing in the next couple of years?
He wouldn't.
You think he should?
No, you shouldn't sell them now. If they're going to come, if they're going to go for 1 more year or 6 more months, there's no way you would sell. Take your 3%, cash it in. When you're done, you get your money back.
Gotcha.
The key is this.
Yeah, I know you're saying if I have some that are not going to expire for another 10 or 12 years, I mean,
that's a problem. Yeah. I mean, you're sick.
One, one real last question, and I'm looking real serious at putting about 20 or 30% of my money in an annuity. What's your opinion on annuities? Just plain vanilla. I know plain vanilla immediate annuity. I give you money. How much you're going to give me back monthly? No bells, no whistles.
Well, here comes a question. An immediate annuity means a pension, as far as I'm concerned, right?
Correct.
I'm going to get a check every month for the rest of my life, right?
Correct.
That's plain vanilla. Now, here's what they plug into the equation. One is how old you are. Number two is your sex. And number three is the then current interest rate. Well, let me tell you, you got three strikes against you. One, you're young. Okay. Now, I know you hate to say people when you say 62, you're young. But if you were 80, they say you're not going to live that long, so the amount of money you'd get would be a whole lot higher. The then current interest rate is extremely low. So
yeah, that's what's hurting everything, yeah.
Yeah, that hurts it. Let me. We need to beat this up a little bit. And on the air, there's all kinds of different ways you can go to protect your money and yet stay in a position where you might earn more than this 2, 3, 4, 5% and still have it protected. So there's vehicles. Okay. Literally, what you're talking about was, quote, an immediate annuity, which I usually tell people is just like a pension. You retire from General Motors, and they say, okay, fine, you're going to get a check every month for the rest of your life for X. And then people will say, okay, fine, well, what if I die after 1 month? Say, well, the money's gone unless you put a wrinkle in it, which means I get a check every month for the rest of my life, but no less than 10 years or no less than 15 years. So if I die, that check would keep going to somebody else. Well, then you get a lesser amount, but sometimes
lesser amount, yeah.
So the whole thing is an equation. But when you weigh these things, you put these things into the hopper and come up and say which one fits you best. As we say,
I guess the big picture with me is I'm retiring at the end of this year. The market is up. I've done okay. I'm set pretty good. And I'm looking to live out my life and not have to worry about big market fluctuations.
I understand exactly.
In the next bear market, which we will have.
Of course we will.
And
yeah.
So I'm about, you know, I can take a little bit of swing, but that's why I was looking at annuities. I don't care for bonds, but at least you got something coming in every month. And
of course.
And then, well, sounds like you have some other ideas.
There's programs out there that guarantee you a 5% income for the rest of your life, and you're in the market. And if the market goes up, mm-hmm. you go up. If the market goes down, you never go down. That same program might also say, fine, we're going to protect your money in case you die. Forget that in case, when you die. And that if the market went down, you don't go down. Your family's protected. So it's something that you need to look at. Because if you can have guaranteed income and protect in case you die on the wrong day that your money's protected for your family, that's called a double-edged sword, and you won one. That's something you need to look at. And obviously,
some of these annuities have income riders and stuff like that built in, which, you know, or, you know, are tied to the index funds or whatever, and you can get some of the market returns.
Well, no.
Stay
still. We're not talking an index annuity. I'm talking a variable. You're in the market, literally. Last year, I had most of my clients were in the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ 100, and they averaged 25% last year. That's what they got paid. That was how much money was added to their account that they could cash in and take. So they were in the market. Then what happens is, if we add insurance to that, the insurance company says, okay, fine, once a year on your anniversary, we'll look at that number, and that is your new base. So let's say you started with 100, and 1 year later you got 125. They now have a 5% income on that 125 for the rest of your life, and if the next year the market goes down to 50, you stay at 125. If you die, your family would get the 125. So what they do is they put insurance together with the market, not an index annuity. You're technically in the market, but you're insuring it in case, and it, you know, you just said it, there will be a bear market, there will be turndowns, no such thing as the economy always going well. what you have to do at this point in your life is protect yourself and your family, because unfortunately you're not getting any younger.
Right, right. That brings up another question, because it seems like you're familiar with annuities. These, they always, in the fine print, based upon the paying ability of the insurance company. How many annuity insurance companies have went under, or is there any statistics in the last 10 or 15 years? I mean, is it...
I have no idea. I'm trying to research it, and I can't find anything. Well, you actually can. You'd have to go to the State Insurance Commission, because every state in America has a state guarantee fund, and now I think it's up to $250,000 that the state of Florida says, we're your partner. If it's an admitted company, they're automatically there. Now, on the other hand, what I only deal with are the A-plus rated companies, the top of the line. I'm talking every household name that you know. Why fool around with something that might be a problem? Even though you're protected, we don't like to have aggravation. So
I understand that, but and I also understand it could be A rated this year, and 5-10 years from now it might be B minus rated.
But the other side of the coin is liquidity, and if the company is liquid and you're invested, remember this: you're in the market. You're in the market.
Yeah.
You're not giving the money to the insurance company, you are in the market. So we got two sides to this thing. If the market is $100,000 and the company goes out of business, you got $100,000. On the other hand, the insurance company has guarantees, which you just said are the riders that guarantee a death benefit or they guarantee a living benefit. Now, the claims paying ability is what my compliance people tell me I'm supposed to say. Just like you said, the key thing is, And forgive me, but I have never seen one person lose a dime on an annuity, because these states get involved with all these companies and they make them contribute to the state, and the states come in and say, hey, this is how we're going to work it, and those contracts are protected. I mean, this has just been what's happened. You know, it's just called car insurance, house insurance. How do we know that car insurance company and that house insurance company is going to be there? Well, because the state comes in and says, if it's an admitted company to do business in the state then becomes your partner.
All right, okay.
So now obviously we don't want to deal with a company that's chartered in the Bahamas or maybe Afghanistan, but literally if it's an admitted company in the state of Florida.
You're wearing a Bahamas shirt.
I love the Bahamas, and so do you. But the key thing that Mike and I both are boaters, so in the Bahamas, you know, listen, in a heartbeat we would be there. The key thing I'm trying to say is, you have to be somewhat conscious of what goes on, but as soon as you're dealing with a household name, no different for your car, your house, your life insurance, all of these things are companies that they have to go past the scrutiny of the state. None of us like government agencies, but let me just tell you, these things are critical to doing business, whether it's a bank, whether it's an insurance company. Whether it's mortgages, whatever it might be, once you have these things into the system, you're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, as long as the state auditors are doing their job and doing their due diligence like they're supposed to.
Now we have a problem. However, all I know is this. When I've dealt with every household name company, and I've been doing this for almost 30 years, I've never, ever had a problem, ever. And I've seen companies get bought up by other companies, but as soon as they're bought by another company, that contract stays exactly like it is. And it happens with car insurance companies, homeowners insurance companies. You have a contract. Now, it's a big difference between rates changing for car insurance and homeowners insurance. Once you have a contract with an insurance company for your life insurance or your annuity, there's no changes. I mean, that thing is in concrete. So I just don't think. Call back in 5 minutes, leave your name and number, because we're going off the air, and I'll touch base. I'll give you a buzz tomorrow, and we'll beat this thing up again on the phone a bit.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Joe, somebody who has bonds in their portfolio. Oh, we have another call.
Caller's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
I guess they hung up, Joe.
Hello, Pastor Jonathan.
Hey.
All right.
Joe,
say you have bonds in your portfolio, right, and you're suggesting that bonds should be not so much in the portfolio. What about real estate investment trust? Is that an alternative at this point?
Well, they always are. Everything is an alternative, but you have to look at your time horizon and your risk horizon. There's all kinds of different investments, but you can't say one horse, one saddle fits everybody.
Well, let's take somebody like Mike who wants to have a decent return but a lot of safety.
Okay.
So some of the REITs that you've talked about are paying 8 to 10% rather than 2 or 3.
Point is,
but that's not guaranteed.
No, that's not guaranteed at all.
But Mike said he's willing to take a certain amount of risk.
Well, the key is this: when you got 200, he might have 10 or 20,000 and put it into something like that as paying 10 or 12. It the quote diversified portfolio. Remember the old words? Mm-hmm. This is where it goes. What I look at in an insured investment, it just takes, you can sleep. You don't have to worry. I know my money's protected. I'm in the market, and I make. And then if the insurance company steps it up once a year, and you're dealing with one of these highly rated companies, I mean, I feel very comfortable. My stomach is good. I don't worry about my clients when we've got such a thing. When you're talking about a REIT, REITs can get bad if interest rates change dramatically. When has that happened? Famous last words.
1980, 81 is an example.
82 is not bad either, right? When interest rates were 16% and 17% for mortgages. But the things what we're trying to say is, literally what I look at with somebody like Mike was talking, he's conservative. He does not want to take much risk. He wants to get a small return, but he wants to know he's protected. Well, bonds is not the place. Bonds are not the place today. Money market accounts, CDs paying 1.5%, 2%. Well, that's about as safe as you're going to get. But $200,000, you make $1,500 a year. Boy, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't make anything. Well, we're just about out of time. We're winding down. I got Pastor Dave getting nervous here, watching the clock, and his seconds are ticking away. He's starting to sweat, you know. So you're going to pretty much yell at me pretty soon here. No? Not going to yell at me? Not today? Other days, maybe.
When I have other ways of expressing my disappointment.
When we meet again, the primary vote
30
will
seconds,
be over.
Joe, it's time for that.
Hey, caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
We have 15 seconds, and we can't hear the call, I believe, Joe.
Just give me your phone number real
so
quick.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say goodbye for everybody. Goodbye, Mike. Goodbye,
right.
Victoria. Goodbye, Joe. And we'll
Bye.
See you next week.
Bye.
Goodbye. God bless.
All right. I'll call you back in just a few minutes.
Sinner, I never sin. I got a friend in Jesus. So you know that when I die, He's gonna set me up the spirit in the sky. Oh, set me up.
You've been listening to the Team Martek program. The Team Martek program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martek. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martek program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martek is available at 772-678-7725.